weekend adventures.
Rhino Linings delivers the ultimate in durability, backed by expert installation at Odyssey's state-of-the-art shop.
Protect your investment. Customize your ride. All in one place.
Visit OdysseyVehiclesOutfitters.com
and get Rhino Tough today.
Go the road less traveled. Unless the road more traveled would have actually gotten you there on time. Take the leap. Unless you're about to leap into a gator-infested lake, then do not leap. Don't even dip a toe. Anything is possible, like winning the lottery. And not winning. And if that gets in the way of life's other possibilities, then it might be time to take a break. Because knowing your limits is an important part of becoming a better player. And a better you. Learn more at sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Walter, Ole Miss and UGA.
I'm going Ole Miss. I think they upset Georgia. I think they have the better quarterback. I think they have the more dynamic quarterback. I think they clearly have the better running back. I think Ole Miss's team speed is way better than people understand, and I think their defense actually got better all year. And I don't think they're going to miss Kiffin. I think they're going to gather around the flag and play for themselves. I think they're almost glad to be done with Kiffin. I think with him out of the way, I think this allows Ole Miss's talent to play out, and I think they win.
What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships to say? How are you today, producer Runner?
I'm fine.
That little excerpt was from our bowl special show. I said that at the bowl show and doubled and tripled down on it since. You know who didn't like that, Ramona? The Georgia fans. Oh, my God, what a bunch of friggin' babies. Holy crap, are you kidding me? You people ought to be embarrassed, at least the ones who follow me on Twitter. Oh, my God, Ramona. These people were arguing with me on Twitter right before the game. And some people that I thought were like pretty decent people, but oh my God, in the wake of me picking Ole Miss to beat Georgia. Now, by the way, this is what they say. Well, you hate Georgia, you know, which is obviously totally false. When Smart went there, I said he won 2 national championships. And they're like, well, you know, what about last year? And I'm like, yeah, last year I picked Notre Dame to beat Georgia. And what happened? Oh, yeah, Notre Dame beat Georgia. That's actually what happened, right? So that meant I hated Georgia, Ramona, for being right about Notre Dame beating Georgia. So this year I pick Ole Miss to beat Georgia, and it's, oh, you hate Georgia. No, I just thought Ole Miss was going to beat you because I don't think you're very good. And I think your defense was vastly overrated. And I think all this crap talk from people like Herb Street, the SEC propagandist chief and bottle washer, I thought was just nonsense about how Georgia's defense had gotten better. I just didn't see it. They're playing nobody. They're playing nobody. They're playing a bunch of offenses that can't score if you leave them by themselves in the building. That's how they got better. You don't think it's a coincidence that the 2 times they played a real offense, the only real offense there is in the SEC, Ole Miss, that they gave up 40 both games? You think it's coincidence? So do you think it's really that they got better, or do you think it's that they just didn't play anybody with a pulse because they got torched? They got friggin' torched. And I thought they'd get torched. I thought that Ole Miss's team speed was better than Georgia's. I thought Ole Miss was better at quarterback, as I said. Better at running back, as was proven out. And I think better at wide receiver. I think they're better at all the skill positions. And they won the game. Despite the officials trying to take the game from them, they won the game. I don't know why Big Ten officials would want to take the game away from Ole Miss, but they tried. They tried everything they could down the stretch to take the game away from Ole Miss. And Ole Miss just said, nah, you know, I don't think so. Kwok asked me if I have a comp for Chambliss. Yeah, I think it's Russell Wilson. I don't mean this Russell Wilson. I mean primetime Russell Wilson. You know, I think that's the comp. I think he's similar. I think that's what Ole Miss thought when they recruited him, that he had that potential. And I think you saw it. But this stuff about Kirby Smart being a friggin' genius, and, you know, Kirby was going to beat the guy who was only coaching in his second game. You know what? Hey, you better find Kirby a coach who's coaching in his first game, because apparently he can't beat the ones coaching in their second game. And he got out-coached. He got out-coached. By the way, it was a player issue at the end of the first half more than anything else with Ole Miss. I mean, you have a experienced tight end who catches the ball on the sideline. You're looking to gain 3 or 4 yards. He's got to step out of bounds. He was told to. He cut it back inside. I don't know why he did that. But Kirby took ridiculous chances. And quite honestly, that fake punt worked, but that's just a boatload of crap right there. This is a dumb call that happened to work. You know what? A dumb call can sometimes work out, and then you get Sean McDonough and people praising the call. The call was stupid. Back from inside your own 30-yard line. It just happened to work. His later tricks did not work in the second half and came back to bite him. He got out-coached by a guy coaching his second game. And Georgia's defense was an embarrassment. I mean, look, Chambliss completed, what, 13 straight passes against Georgia? And they ran all over him right from the start, too. They did whatever they wanted. Georgia couldn't stop any of it. And here's what happens, Ramona. This is what the Georgia fans on Twitter say after. First, they argue about what's going to happen, that I don't know what I'm talking about, that Georgia's going to beat Ole Miss, and they're going to kill them, and blah, blah, blah. Right, Ramona? They argue about all these things with me. And then after I'm proven right about them again, they just vanish, except the few who wrote things like this, Ramona. Well, Clemson sucks. Okay, what does it have to do with Clemson? We acknowledge that all year, okay? And then it was, well, you picked Clemson before the year, right? So did half the world. But yeah, I was wrong, and I've acknowledged that like 1,000 times. But that means what in terms of here and now? That's your defense? So we're not going to talk about the fact that you had the game wrong against Ole Miss and that I had it right, and Ole Miss beat you. And, oh, by the way, you're not going to play for a national championship for a third straight year. You're not even going to be in the game. We're not going to talk about that, right? No, we're going to talk about the fact that I had Clemson wrong, or that Clemson sucks. That's your answer. Well, look, I got a newsflash for you. The two major upsets so far, Miami-Ohio State and Ole Miss-Georgia, I called them both. Called both of those upsets flat out. I don't want the points. I don't need the points. I'll take the points for a contest, but flat out called for both those upsets. They both happened. Oh, by the way, and I'm 26-10 against the spread in our bowl contest. 26-10 and 14-2 in the last 16 games. But yeah, I'm an idiot, huh? Yeah, you're right. I'm an idiot. I don't have any idea what I'm talking about. I just somehow magically got all those things right. And so this is their defense, Ramona. Their defense is Clemson sucks. And just a totally embarrassing group of fans. They don't come back, Ramona, and say, well, you were right. Those things you said about Ole Miss, you're right. Not one of them, Ramona. Not a single one of them. Just classless. I'm sorry, just completely classless. I know there've got to be better Georgia fans than that, but there weren't on my social media feed. There weren't on my social media feed. And Ole Miss was better. They were better. They had the better quarterback, like I said. They had the better running back. That one was closer. They had the better receivers, and they had the better team speed. That's right, the better team speed. What Ramona didn't play there, that was from our bowl show. It was too long. But what I talked about was my epiphany with Ole Miss occurred in the Oklahoma game in Norman, Oklahoma, when I watched the moron Lane Kiffin take his team into Norman. And I watched Ole Miss completely outplay Oklahoma, where Oklahoma looked like they were all wearing cement shoes because their team speed wasn't close to Ole Miss's team speed. And they took bad angles all game long. And I was actually disappointed in Venables for not seeming to address it. His team took terrible defensive angles against Ole Miss's speed all game long. And Ole Miss went on to win like 36-24, whatever it was. I don't remember the exact score. It was something like that. 10-12-point game, despite Lane Kiffin meddling in the game time and time again. If you go back and watch that game, he made at least 10 boneheaded, ridiculous decisions during that game that potentially cost his team the game. And the reason Ole Miss was able to beat Georgia yesterday is because he wasn't there. That's why they beat him. They had all the talent in the world to beat Georgia, like they should have beat them the first time. But Lane Kiffin getting in the way of things, his inability to just keep his ridiculous, twisted mind, deviant mind out of game situations, killed Ole Miss in every big game they ever played under him. He's the worst I've ever seen. And that game in Norman, Oklahoma was the singular worst I've ever seen. Because Ole Miss was 40 points better than Oklahoma. 40. They were just way better than Oklahoma. But Kiffin kept getting in the way. Well, guess what? Kiffin wasn't there. Like I said back at the Bull kickoff show, he was not there to screw up the in-game decisions. I mean, again, look, the quarterback you saw just destroy Georgia yesterday. Kiffin took him off the field every time they got near the goal line against Oklahoma. For some reason, known only to Kiffin. Then he's on the sidelines hitting himself in the head. I mean, I've seen all sorts of things in my life, Ramona. I've never seen a college coach on the sideline hitting himself in the head. Like cartoonish, like acting out for his ridiculous decisions. Yeah, we knew it was a ridiculous decision. The announcers knew. All of your players knew. But you still couldn't help yourself. And he made at least 12. I'm telling you right now, if you go back and watch the game, he made at least 12 of those decisions in that game that were just ridiculous. Just so stupid it defied description. And still his team beat Oklahoma by double digits. And that's when I knew Ole Miss was really dangerous, and that's pretty much when I knew that if we came to another Ole Miss-Georgia game, that I really thought Ole Miss, again, they played in Athens. They led all game until the fourth quarter. I just think it was reasonable to think that they got a second swing at it in a neutral environment that they would take Georgia out, and they did. And it's another failed season for Georgia, just another disappointing season. I thought Gunnar Stockton played well. The problem is the quarterback on the other side is just better. And it was a disadvantage, and it was one I thought that Georgia wouldn't overcome, and they did not overcome it. And, you know, the thing is, I thought Chambliss played the best game of his life. I mean, I thought he was so good. I mean, so remarkably good. Again, I think that's the best game he ever played. But I thought he had that potential against the Georgia defense that I still thought sucked. And I thought just hadn't been exposed. And again, it's not coincidence. Like, if you put Georgia back in the SEC now, and you let them play some of these offenses that can't score if you leave them by themselves in the building, well, guess what? Georgia's defense is going to look real good. And that's what led Herb Street to think that somehow Georgia's defense had drastically improved when they're playing nobody. But I got a newsflash for you. If they play Ole Miss again a week from now, they're still giving up 40 points and 500 yards because it doesn't matter, okay? The one real legit offense, they couldn't slow at all. And look, I got to tell you something. The Georgia-Ole Miss game was not great football. It was a fun game to watch. It was a competitive game, but it wasn't great football. Neither one of those teams will win the national championship, although I do think Ole Miss has improved, and you know, I think they have some sort of chance due to the quarterback and the fact that Kiffin is not there to screw things up anymore. You know, I didn't just come to that accidentally. That thing I said, whenever we had the bowl kickoff show, that stuff I said then, I didn't come to that accidentally. I came to it by watching. I've watched years worth of Lane Kiffin screwing up in-game decisions. And I really felt that Ole Miss was going to be better without him, with him out of the way. And again, the worst example, the thing that was really troublesome is he wasn't getting better at this. He was getting worse. And the worst example of all was the game in Norman, where, again, if you actually watch that football game, his in-game mistakes were limited only by the fact that the game's 3.5 hours long. That's the only thing that limited his mistakes. So I think it was perfectly reasonable that with Charlie Weiss still calling the offense, which is the only part they needed. They didn't need the Kiffin part. With Charlie Weiss Jr. still calling the offense, that Ole Miss, with Kiffin out of the way, would win the game. And they did. And they were the better team. And Georgia had no answer. Georgia could not stop them at all in the second half. And Kirby knew that, which is probably why he took some of the chances he did. Now, quite honestly, Kirby took chances all year, and he was really lucky in a lot of those situations. But if you actually look at what Georgia did over the course of the year, they were in close game after close game against teams that sort of sucked. And they found ways to win, I guess. But, you know, a lot of the ways to win were fortunate. They were, had more to do with luck than anything else. Luck and the element of surprise. Well, even though they did surprise Ole Miss once or twice with trick-type plays, eventually it just came back on Georgia. And the reality is they just weren't good enough. They weren't good enough. And every Georgia fan thought they were great and thought they were going to march through this and Ole Miss was going to be no factor. I had people, Georgia fans, writing me during the game when Ole Miss was up and or when Georgia was up saying, oh, Georgia's going to go on and blow them out. This is what happens and blah, blah, blah. Georgia doesn't blow anybody out now, okay? You're just not that good. You're not who you thought you were. And you haven't been for a long period of time. Seth Stetson Bennett, to be quite honest. And he was the key and none of you wanted to acknowledge that. Well, you're just not very good right now. You haven't made a national championship in 3 years. Again, I think Gunnar Stockton played well. Quite honestly, he was one of the few Georgia players I thought did play well. And then, Ramona, it was this. The next thing was, oh, but we have injuries. Cry me a friggin' river. Everybody in the country has injuries. Indiana played without the nation's leader in tackles for loss. Did that matter to them? No. They just destroyed Alabama anyway. Everybody has injuries. Newsflash. Everybody has injuries at this time of year. Cry me a river. You lost to a team you don't even respect in Ole Miss. And then none of you showed up afterward to talk about it. Yeah, you know, keep coming, Georgia, because I've got more. I have more on you. Because honestly, I think you're an embarrassment. You know what else? I think the whole friggin' SEC is an embarrassment. And I'm sick to death of it. I'm sick to death of the propagandists and the key one being Herb Street. I am sick to death of these people. You know, 3 years now, Ramona. You know what the SEC has done in the playoff? Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing. Except produce embarrassing result after embarrassing. The league hasn't gotten to the championship game in 3 years. You have half the field. 5 of the 10 P4 spots are yours. You fully have 50% of the field. Now you have one. And the one is Ole Miss. That's the one you have left. This nonsense about giving the SEC all these berths every year. Screw that. They should never get more than 3. You know why? Because they're not any good. The league's not any good. This isn't 1980. The calendar, my computer says it's 2026, and I've got a newsflash for you. That league isn't any good anymore. And you know why it's not any good? Because the defensive front sevens in that league suck now. So it's just another league now, whether you like it or not. I don't care. You don't know football. It's just another league. It was always the defensive front sevens that separated the SEC from everybody else. They had all the athletes in the defensive front seven, and so they were dominant. Give me a team in the SEC that's got a dominant defensive front seven right now. Go ahead, I dare you. Give me an SEC team with a dominant defensive front seven. There aren't any. There aren't any, and there haven't been for the last 3 years. And that's why it's just the league. So now they want special citizen treatment. They want to be granted spots. No, man, you got to earn your spots. Stop kowtowing to these idiots. I mean, you have all the evidence you want. You're to negotiate any sort of deal, any sort of future deal with this league. You have all the evidence you could possibly seek right now in terms of who and what this league is. No, man, I'm not giving you anything. Nothing. You get nothing that nobody else does. If anybody gets special treatment, it's a Big Ten. It's certainly not you. Quick break.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568. Or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Tired of waiting on hold forever? Talking to someone three states away who doesn't get it? At Upcountry Fiber, we're your neighbors, right here in the upstate, bringing you fast fiber internet and real local support 24/7. No pushy sales, no surprise fees, just honest service and a strong connection. And now it's a perfect time to switch. Save $15 a month for a year on any fiber internet plan. Upcountry Fiber, certified local, a stronger connection.
Yoder's Building Services is your locally trusted family-owned building supply company, serving the upstate since 1986 with lumber, windows, and doors, roofing and decks, siding, and more for homeowners and contractors. And when it comes to windows and doors, Yoder's is proud to partner with Anderson Windows and Doors, known for unmatched quality, durability, and energy efficiency. Whether you're replacing a few windows or building your dream home from the ground up, visit Yoder's Building Services. More information on Anderson Windows and Doors today.
The college football playoff isn't over. Not yet. That epic run, that wild dream, not over till the clock hits zero. Till the stadium shakes. Till the wild things are let loose. Till the trophy is lifted and the confetti falls. This is the national championship. When it's over, you'll feel it. This is the wild world of college football. The CFP National Championship, Monday, January 19th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Get fired up with Walt Deptula on Road Rage, weekdays 3 to 7, for all things sports. Exclusively on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Blues. There's a fatherless child, a mother who prays the boy won't grow wild. There's a song in the night, a ring in Kalamazoo.
Walt Deptula, Road Rage, we're back. You know, I thought that Texas State would kill Rice today. They were, what's the point spread in this, Ramona, in our contest? Is it 13.5? What is it? 14? What is it? Texas State is starting to pull, they trailed for a while, or it was tied, or whatever it was. I think it was 10-7 Texas State at the half. Now it's 24-7, so they're starting to get something done. They just had a big play, but they got called back for holding. So I have Texas State in this one, so I need this one to continue the little roll. And we shall see. So Texas State and Rice, Texas State up 24-7. I really, honestly, on the whole slate of games, I liked this game a lot. I thought Texas State would crush Rice. It's been slow coming, but it seems like they're starting to get there now. We shall see. Let me get to Lumbee and Georgia Ron right now. You can get in if you want, 654-7627. I think Texas State just added to their lead with a touchdown pass. So 31-7. So it's starting to happen. Lumbee, how are you, Lumbee?
Good, Walt. How are you doing today?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a call. I'm not a Georgia fan at all, but I got to admit, you were right. This is the most. I'm an NFL guy. You know that.
Yeah.
But this is the most intriguing semifinals I think that we could possibly get, and it's awesome, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, I mean, look, listen, everything about the world of college football right now is wrong except the ending. You know, in other words, the ending is more a more exciting, more interesting ending than we've ever had before. The expanded playoff, I think that's undeniable. It's way better than four teams and that kind of nonsense. But having said that, you know, I just think everything that leads up to it is atrocious. I mean, just awful.
Yeah, for sure. By the way,
they're reviewing that, or did they just call it out because they took the points off the scoreboard? So maybe they just said, maybe they called that out.
Looks so, like it's out.
Yeah, initially they called it a touchdown. Maybe it was the, I wasn't really looking, but maybe the right foot came down first and the right foot was out. Yeah, I guess that's what it was. So that there's no touchdown. So it's still 24-7. And it's third and long. All right. Sorry, Lumbee.
No, you're good, Walt. You know, they a lot of people call you an idiot, but I remember in 2019
I don't get a lot of people call me an idiot, but the Georgia fans after this one have.
I just know that in 2019 I was listening. You called the two championship the run of championships, and you called the fall off too, as well. I mean, I don't think that. You know, he got out coached last night. I watched all of that game. He really did. And I'm honestly, the defense hadn't looked the same for Georgia since Dan Lanning left. But
I think that's right. You know, I think that's right. I don't think there's any question that's true. I think the defense has not been the same since Lanning left.
No, Lanning left, and now you see. But I may be wrong, but I think the winner of the Oregon Indiana game will probably go on to win the title, but who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, look, I think on paper that's the national championship game, although I will say I respect both the other teams on the other side, and I definitely respect Miami because I picked Miami to beat Ohio State, and I still think from a line of scrimmage standpoint they have the best personnel of any team in the playoff, and I thought that going in, and I think that's been proven out. So I'm not going to rule anything out yet. And look, to be honest, we're going to play national semifinals, and injuries in those national semifinals could affect the final.
It could. Like I say, I'm an NFL guy. I don't like the state of college football.
Yeah, but I get
you
it.
Can't deny there's an entertainment factor to it.
Yeah,
This is absolutely
it's
awesome.
The thing is, it's a cesspool to get there. You know what I mean? It's just awful. I mean, the world of college football right now is ugly, ugly, ugly until you get to this. And this is the feel-good moment that sort of makes fans forget about it. And then, you know, and then we're right into the portal, which is the height of the ugliness. And the portal is more bloated than it's ever been before. And it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Yep, it does. And please, I got two more things. One quick, please keep ripping the SEC. I mean, my favorite team is in the SEC, but my gosh, I mean, your one lone survivor is a team that's coach left them in the middle of the night or the middle of the afternoon for LSU.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, come on. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the other thing is, Max, you want to say hey, Walt.
Hey, Max.
Hey, Walt.
That's the kiddo that was sick that I was messaging about.
We're it's
good,
awesome.
But, you know,
glad he's feeling better.
Awesome, but I hope that Detroit can beat Chicago just to ruin the number one seed and stick it to Ben Johnson. But have a good one, Walt.
Thank you, love it. Thank you. That's awesome. His team's out of it, but he still wants to stick it to Ben Johnson and the Bears. Georgia, Ron. Ron, how are you, Ron? Good to have you.
Doing great, Walt. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for getting in.
Yeah, I will go. Let me start by saying I am a Georgia fan that does not have the red-colored glasses on. I've been saying this all year to my workmates and whoever talked to me about Georgia football. Yeah, I think Kirby also knows what he has. That's why he took chances.
You're 100% right. 100% right, yeah. Ryan. It's why he took chances all year. He knew this team did not have the personnel of the teams that he won national championships with. He said so before the year. He said, I'm concerned about our depth. I'm concerned about, you know, basically the overall talent level is not what it was. And so he intentionally took chances all year, and quite honestly his aggression surprised opponents all year long. I don't know why. You know, if they were watching the games, I don't know why the next team in line right would have been surprised. But they all were, and you got to give him credit for that. He was aggressive, and he knew why.
Well, I think after probably the Tennessee game, he realized exactly what he had to do. And then I think Ole Miss, did the defense get a little better? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I posted last night, we started with DB issues, and the game ended with DB issues.
Yeah.
Why in the world are you playing press coverage when all you had to do was play for overtime?
Yeah.
That's, on that last play.
That's exactly, that's exactly right.
But, yeah. But I've been saying it all season, even last year. I mean, we've only lost, two games the last two seasons? But, I mean, our schedule is favorable. And then also, like you said, the D-line is where it is. When you have that many first-rounders going in the D-line and then the state of college football where you can't stockpile 4 stars, 5 stars, and keep them on the bench, then everything's going to come down to coaching. And I think, I mean, you look at it, with what he's done this year, me personally, I was like, okay, we made it to the college playoff. I was happy about that.
Right.
For us to win the SEC championship, I was like, okay, we're exceeding. I actually didn't want the bye week just because the last 2 years, teams with the bye week are 1-7.
The bye week hurts. The bye week, it's crystal clear to me. I'm going to explain what I think the answer to that is in a little bit, but there's no question the bye week hurts. It's not, it's a stupid system. And Dan Lanning himself has said so on both sides of the equation. At least on that, he's been consistent. And I think there's no question. Here's another thing, Ron. I think the days of like teams winning 3 out of 4 national championships and that, I think that's over. Unless something changes dramatically, you're just not going to see that kind of dominance anymore because the whole thing is set up now for competitive balance. Players just leave, coaches go anywhere, they get paid no matter where they go. Yeah. So there's way more competitive balance, and the 12-team playoff field, which is going to go to 16 soon, maybe this month, is only going to make that more true. So listen, there are a lot of reasons Nick Saban got out of football. This is one of them because he would have been exposed to. No one's going to win 3 out of 4 or 4 to 5 national championships anymore. Nobody. That's done.
Yep, I agree. And I'll say one other thing. Because of, you know, coaches going anywhere, players going everywhere, it's hard to keep good coaches.
Yeah.
And I will cite our DB play. Ever since Coach Fran went to Syracuse,
that's a good point.
Our DB play.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Coach Fran was, I think, incredible with our DBs, and now we can't find the ball half the time. I'd say when I'm watching a game, just throw the ball long. We either can't find it or we get a P.I. I mean, one of the two. I mean, Everett was our best DB. I mean, and he almost came up at the end. I mean, he almost got that pick at the end.
Yeah, that kid really played well. Yeah,
I just want to let you know there are some Georgia fans.
Good job, Ron.
With some common sense.
Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, you have a great year. Enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate that very much. See, that reminder, there are decent Georgia fans, and I know there are. It's just the bad ones show up after a bad loss, especially when they've been arguing with you ahead of time that you're an idiot for thinking Ole Miss was going to beat them. And then they don't even show up. And when they do show up, they bring up Clemson. It's like the dumbest thing ever. It just proves you, and those people just proves you have no argument left at all. When you go to that, at that point, you have no argument left at all. Rice trying to drive here, and Texas State got to settle for a field goal. So I'm not feeling comfortable about this one, Ramona, because a touchdown would. What's the spread in this? What spread do we play this at? Texas State and the starch. What? How many was the starch getting? The bad starch. Bad starch.
Let's see. It's 13.5.
Ooh, 13.5. So what is this? Yeah, that's not good. We need more points. All right. Ethan and Tallahassee Todd. Yeah, we're gonna get a call from a Seminole fan, Ramona. I don't know why. They're not any part of anything that's going on. No, Todd, you hang on, Todd. I'm going right to you, man. Ethan in Utah and then Tallahassee Todd after that. Let me tell you about my friends at Underdog. Hey, by the way, man, big NFL games. 49ers in Seattle. Big NFL game. You know, the Niners are great offensively, but defensively they suck. I don't know how you rationalize that. I mean, I think the best team in all football is still the Rams. We shall find out, though. But, you know, look, you're getting some games now late in the NFL season where guys are putting up numbers. So, you know, I would expect that to happen. Like that game. Like I'm listen, on Underdog, you want to play all those guys higher, okay? In a game like that, we have offensive football with Seattle and San Francisco, unless, you know, these are all higher numbers to me. Higher in everything. Take all the quarterback numbers, take the receiver numbers, take the running, take all higher. That's what we've seen. The 49ers have no defense whatsoever. So I'm especially taking Seattle guys higher on whatever number Underdog gives me. I haven't even looked yet. But I'm taking those. So that's what I'm playing, all right? Football season in full swing. Underdog's the best place to get in on all the action. Plus, with Underdog Unwrapped, you'll unwrap tons of promos all throughout the holidays. We've got boosts, gimme picks, deal reveals, even some surprises sprinkled in. Now's the best time to get in the game. You can make your picks and win money right now in South Carolina. It's Underdog. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick with your favorite players. We'll go higher or lower in stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and more. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash. Hey, listen, I'm telling you right now. Higher on anything to do with Seattle and the 49ers, I'm taking higher, okay? Higher. And I don't know what those numbers are yet. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but I'm taking the hires. Download the app today. Use promo code ROADRAGE, all capital letters, one word, to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code ROADRAGE. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18+. Present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets to underdogfantasy.com/web/display and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Consider the play, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit www.ncpgambling.org. By the way, if you've been telling me on the bowl picks on Underdog, you have been cleaning up. Quick break.
Honor your graduates' achievements with a keepsake that truly stands out. Collegiate Legacy Designs offers handcrafted and hand-finished, fully licensed ring plaques for Clemson University and the Citadel, made by proud Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie. With unanimous 5-star reviews and lots of repeat customers, these plaques make the perfect gift for Christmas, recent graduates, or upcoming graduates. Get your order in today at CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com. That's CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com.
At B&D Family Jewelers, value and trust come first. Make this Christmas sparkle with fine jewelry for the holidays, weddings, or any occasion. Explore on-site repairs and looking to sell? We buy gold, silver, platinum, old jewelry, and sterling flatware for someone special or treat yourself. Visit B&D Family Jewelers, 1600 John B. White Boulevard in Spartanburg, or check us out at bndfamilyjewelers.com. B&D Family Jewelers can help make your special occasion memorable.
If it matters, we're talking about it.
Like it matters?
Oh, it matters.
We're 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
No, I'm not going crazy, but lately my head and my heart seem to be at least a million miles apart. And my heart says to love you, my head says to run. It's like my heart is too afraid to tell my head what it's done. I know that it can never be the way it was. Even though you'll be the death of me, I can't give you up. Too much is not enough, it's not the love.
Walt Tip Tulu Road Rage, we are back. Okay. I have to tell you something about one of our advertisers, all right? And I also want this to be known. This advertiser did not tell me this, all right? Never said a word about this. Not one single word. The salesperson here who's responsible for the account never heard a word from this advertiser, all right? So this was not any sort of self-promotion about what they did. I bumped into this the other day. It's a news report from Channel 7 News, and I think it's important that you know who you're dealing with and where you're going. This is amazing. So I see this headline, and this is all I saw at first. I had no idea who this was about. I thought, well, this is cool. This is cool at holiday time. Absolutely cool. So I see under local news, Greer Soup Kitchen received 600 Ramona, I need you. Greer, I see this under local news. Greer Soup Kitchen receives 600-pound food donation. 600 pounds of food. And I'm thinking, wow, how cool is that? Holiday time, people struggling, they need, the soup kitchen needs food. And this is what I read, Ramona. Greer, South Carolina, WSPA, AMPM Farms donated 600 pounds of meat to a local soup kitchen on the morning of New Year's Eve, providing essential support in the upstate. The donation took place at 11 a.m. at Daily Bread Ministries, 521 East Poinsett Street in Greer. The meat donation, which included ground beef, pork, and beef ribs, will significantly contribute to the organization's effort in feeding those in need. How about that?
That is wonderful.
I mean, how insanely cool is that, Ramona? And again, I saw this by accident. I bumped into it. Like I said, these people, AMPM Farms, never told me this, never sent me anything on this. David, the salesperson whose accountant is, was never told this. So these are not people who did this for any other reason other than that's who they are, which is amazing. 600 pounds of food helps to feed lots of people. So just kudos to AMPM Farms. Salute. At this time of year, you know, when there's greater need than ever, and you're trying to help people in these ministries and through these and through the Greer Soup Kitchen, to have AMPM Farms just step up on their own and not want any credit for it. And I don't even know if they're going to like me saying this. I didn't check with them. I wasn't going to ask them, because when people do the right thing, you know what? You should sing that from the rooftops. And again, had I not seen this with my own eyes, I wouldn't be telling this right now, because they never told me. So just kudos to those people, wonderful people, and thank you to AMPM Farms. So proud to have them as an advertiser. So proud. Ethan, how are you? Ethan, good to have you.
I'm doing quite all right, Walt. It's your old intern, Ethan.
Oh, how about that, Ethan? I thought it was the Ethan from Utah. Man, Ethan, we haven't heard from you in a long time.
I'm in Seneca right now. I'm visiting home.
Well, good.
10 years after my freshman year of college, I'm finally getting my bachelor's degree.
Well, congratulations.
I don't know who this guy Dean is, but I'm on his list now, so that's cool.
Well, congratulations for being on Dean's list.
Oh, thank you, Walt. Just a couple things, Walt. One, after the 2023 season concluded, or after the Rose Bowl concluded and Nick Saban announced his retirement, I sat around and I said, wow, how long are we going to have to wait for the next one?
Yeah.
I had no idea that person would reveal themselves the very next season in Kurt Cignetti. This is your new Nick Saban. Get used to it. I believe that wholeheartedly. You know, Nick Saban, now he's like, oh, I'm going to complain about the state of college football on TV every day. Kurt Cignetti said, well, I've got an army of 3 stars. I've made them all millionaires, and now they're going to go embarrass everybody. And yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. I love what he's doing there.
Yeah, it really is incredible.
But the real reason I called you is to discuss Clemson's football schedule in the year 2026. It looks a little more interesting than I would have thought looking at it earlier. We host Miami, who is obviously having a great run, might go to the national championship game. We shall see. We will be hosting a James Franklin Virginia Tech team. That will be very interesting. Bill Belichick comes to town. Carolina comes to town. We have to open up on the road at LSU in Baton Rouge. We have to go to Florida State.
You know, Ethan, you know what the most interesting element of everything you're saying is? It's that we don't know who's quarterbacking any of those teams.
Any of them.
Right, any of them, including Clemson. We don't know who's quarterbacking
Clemson. It's Chris Denson. We know this.
No, there's no way. There's no way on God's green earth. Chris Denson's the quarterback next year. No way.
Oh, come on.
No, zero chance. Zero chance of that, Ethan. But we have no idea who's quarterback in Clemson, and we have no idea who's quarterback in any of those teams. Because first of all, Miami hasn't chosen their guy yet. But that'll come soon enough. I mean, they'll be choosing their next guy. But
I am impressed with Carson Beck. You know.
Yeah, but he'll be gone.
I've been quite impressed with him.
Yeah, but he'll be gone.
No, I'm just saying this year.
You know, he had a couple of his normal disastrous performances, but the thing is, people just, I don't think people really understand this. I think they get too caught up in yards and things. Carson Beck just played the best game of his life in winning and beating Ohio State.
He did.
I'm going to get to that in a little bit, but I'm going to save that.
But we also, real quick, we do go on the road to Syracuse, I believe, next year as well. And I don't know what they're cooking up there. Fran might have something cooked up for us. And we have to go all the way across the country to Cal. So this schedule is a doozy. I think we also have Georgia Tech at home on that schedule. So,
well, Cal, you're going to play against Sagapolitelli, who's going to be one of the best. And they have a super talented running back.
Good to talk to you, Walt.
Yep, thank you, Ethan. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
And then, from a Syracuse standpoint, I mean, maybe they're getting Jelly back, I guess. Where am I going here? It is Tallahassee Todd, Billy, and Matt. Right now, we lost a couple people, so you can get in. All six lines were lit. And again, kudos to AMPM Farms, just awesome. Todd, Tallahassee Todd, how are you, Todd? Yeah. What's going on, Todd? Who's Florida State playing?
What's going on? Hey, Alabama, how does it feel to lose your first game and lose your last game? How does it feel, buddy? How does it feel? How does it feel, Walt?
It's a beautiful thing.
I love it.
Todd's taking revenge.
A fraud. A phony.
Oh, yeah.
A mishap.
Oh, yeah.
And unbelief.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Indiana, a basketball team.
Yeah.
A school known for basketball. Talk. Who gives a piss about them guys? Boy, I love it. Whoa, did you see the game?
Oh,
did
yes.
Did you see the game, Walt?
Oh, I enjoyed every second. It was exactly what I thought would happen.
You called it, Walt. You called it, but I was at work. I couldn't call you. I've been caught up with Christmas. I kept telling everybody, Alabama is not beating Indiana.
You know the funniest. You know the funniest thing, Todd, is all over social media. These Bama fans leading up to this game had actually deluded themselves into thinking that their history with Bear Bryant was somehow going to let them beat Indiana. That Indiana had no idea what it's like to be on this level, and they're so accustomed to being on this level, and it was going to be their history that somehow led them to be. Well, I got a newsflash for you, Bama fans. You're now part of Indiana. History. The year is 2026, and the Hoosiers don't give a crap whether Bear Bryant once coached at Alabama. They don't care.
I mean, whoa. And what happened to Georgia? All that mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
We the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
Yeah.
Boy, how does it feel? Now, Walt, I can sympathize with Clemson. Because when we had all our people out, Georgia ran the school up on us. I can understand Clemson. I can relate to that. But I cannot relate to Georgia thinking that they was going to win against Ole Miss. No, Lane Kiffin, you beat Georgia. Lane Kiffin was y'all problem then.
Yeah.
Y'all got rid of y'all problem.
People thought I was joking. I was not joking with any of that. I really felt that Ole Miss was going to be much more dangerous without Kiffin. They still had when Charlie Weiss decided that he was still going to coach this game and the playoffs, their offensive coordinator, that's all I needed to know. When I knew that Charlie Weiss was coach, and I felt for sure that Ole Miss was going to beat Georgia. I just did not believe in this Georgia team, and I didn't believe in their defense. And I think that's pretty obvious.
Okay, I got two things to say.
All right,
and two things only.
Okay, two.
North Carolina, we won't be going home in the first four called March of Madness. My Tar Heels are rolling, brother. And I got one more thing to say.
Yeah.
I got one more thing to say on it.
Yeah.
My pick. Or Oregon and Ole Miss and go Cowboys. Thank you, Walt.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you. I see you.
He's
waiting.
Confusing. No. Is he an FSU fan?
Yes, he is.
Okay, and he's a North Carolina basketball
fan? Yes, a North Carolina basketball
fan. And NFL, he's Cowboys.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, you have them all down. Yeah, you have them all down. Is that People's Champ?
No.
Oh, okay, it's a different champ. Okay. All right, yes. Billy in Myrtle Beach. Billy, how are you, Billy? Good to have you.
Oh, what's going on, Walt?
Hey, Billy.
I hope you had a happy New Year's and the holidays went well for
you.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You, Billy. Same to you.
Hey, a lot of cha-ching, real quick, man, a lot of cha-chings going on by phone on my app. I'm telling you, man, I did something disgusting the other day. I was playing with so much house money. I'm kidding you not, Walt. I looked and I said, oh, well, there's not much going on. So I took South Carolina State with 45.5 in a basketball game against Auburn. And yeah, that's
Hey, Billy, like, Billy, you know that phone number at the end of the ad? That may be for you.
Yeah, I'm a Nats eyelash on it, man. I am. I think they hey, Walt, I got a quick story. I just want to talk about the Clemson, but first on the college football playoff. Yeah, it's amazing that you know, the SEC fans act like the SEC is the greatest thing since the invention of buffalo sauce, you know?
Yeah.
They think that everything's SEC. You know, they didn't play in the SEC. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I got into it with somebody on social media, and I think it's the fun and games. I love it. I love stirring the pot sometimes. But I chanted after Miami. I said, look what, you know, Miami got after them, and they were more physical than Ohio State, blah, 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 the rest of the story. I said, just an ACC team that just backdoored in there looks like the best team in the country, and I chanted ACC, ACC, and I said, oh, I sound like a Gamecock fan now because I'm chirping for my conference. I'm jock sniffing my conference, you know? So, but yeah, and hey, Walt, and you were all over it when you were talking about just how overrated. They're not going to, I don't think Ole Miss is going to beat Miami. By the way, I'll just tell you that.
You know, again, Billy, look, What the SEC, what some of the SEC fans don't understand, in my mind, and I think this is as clear as it possibly could be, the whole landscape of college football has changed dramatically. And in that change, the talent has spread out. And what used to be the dominant sole proprietorship of the SEC was the defensive front sevens. You know, I remember talking to Ellis Johnson a million years ago, and that's what all he talked about. The difference between the SEC and everybody else was the defensive front sevens, and it was true. The problem for the SEC now is it's not true anymore. There are no dominant defensive front sevens in the whole league. None. There are none. Zero. And so there's not going to be any dominance from those teams anymore. And it's crystal clear. I mean, this could, if Ole Miss doesn't make the national championship game, this will be the third straight year that the SEC has failed to make the game, despite having most of the field.
Hey, Walt, and you're all over it. They'll grab, if you notice, if you look at the teams like that, I wouldn't say flame out because they've still got a lot of talent, but the Georgias and the Alabamas of the world, they'll grab. Yeah, they might have a couple first-rounders on that line, but used to, SEC, I mean, their whole front, they could rush with four against any offensive line and get pressure.
Yeah.
That's just how dominant. Yeah,
and that was the difference. They had all those dudes and all those athletes, but now those guys are all spread out all over the country. And it's not the same anymore. That area that they dominated, they don't anymore. I mean, you know, you saw a Big Ten team sort of physically whipping them. Honestly, even Michigan was beating the SEC rent-a-team Texas physically for much of that game until Underwood just started throwing the ball to Texas.
Yeah, Underwood's good. Oh, man. Hi, Lita. He waving a hair. Well, we know who inherited him, Whittingham. So, yeah, he's working with something there.
Well, real, yeah, but again, in the fourth quarter of the game, Underwood just started throwing the ball directly to Texas.
He got picked three
times in the fourth quarter.
Yep. We had to. Exactly. That was a perfect segue, and I'll make this quick because I know you're not far from the break. Clemson, I know the portal opened today. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think Clemson, I kind of hated losing Green. I mean, everybody seems like A&M basically negotiate or is going to negotiate a deal with him. But other than that, I mean, it was guys that they wanted out, and I look at it as opportunities. As far as going in there and restacking the team, and as you just alluded to, way the SEC was so when they were so dominant, we're remembering Clemson's heyday. They had it.
That's right.
Of course, Lawrence and Watson, but look at that front.
That's exactly right.
But Morris, and hey, real quick, Coach, with Chad Morris coming in, I really don't. I don't know. Just get the Jimmy.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. You still got to get a quarterback, and it looks like Clemson actually is trying to get a quarterback. And I'll talk more about it, Billy. I got to run. Good talking to you. Let me tell you about the Green Law Firm. I don't think anybody's had a good experience with the IRS. You're not trying to deal with the IRS. Maybe you have filed several years. You filed. You haven't paid. I don't know. Whatever the issue is, you're thinking of moving to Idaho and living off the grid. That's a bad idea. Don't get eaten by a grizzly bear and fish with Henry Winkler. You'll like him for a weekend. After that, he gets boring. Listen, the solution's right here in Greenville. The Green Law Firm. Call David Green. David's a Clemson grad, has been dealing with the IRS for over 20 years. David knows all the options available so you can take your life back, whether they put liens on your property, garnish your wages. We have an audit coming up. David can help you. The Green Law Firm understands the ever-changing tax laws, what the IRS will accept as a compromise. David Green understands the Fresh Start program. He'll certainly use this IRS program to your best advantage. The Green Law Firm can't change your past, but they can certainly change your future. They will give you the peace of mind, the results you're entitled to from a local law firm that's been helping hundreds of folks in the upstate for over 20 years. The professional staff at the Green Law Firm can do it all. Do yourself an enormous favor. Call the Green Law Firm today for a free strategy session, 271-7940, 271-7940. Stop by their office, Lynn McEastern in Greenville. On the web, greenlaw.legal, G-R-E-E-N-E. Quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we offer crawlspace insulation and encapsulations, protecting your home from the outdoor elements, as well as dust, mold, and allergens. The biggest pain point here in South Carolina is humidity, and with it comes mold. Your health is in jeopardy. We seal your crawlspace and control humidity with an April Air dehumidifier, preventing the gross crawlspace air to travel through your floors and into your home, making your HVAC work overtime. Call Koala Insulation of Greenville today at 864-867-1779 to learn more.
Here's a longevity hack you'll actually enjoy. Bouldering. It builds real-world strength, especially grip strength, which has been linked in British Medical Journal research to improve longevity. And the head game? A 2025 German study found that bouldering improves cognitive abilities such as concentration, focus, and problem-solving abilities, while also lowering depression and anxiety. Come try.